Kyle Trask is rising to the challenge. Are there going to be any hot dogs available out there? Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Buccaneers fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman, the king of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, the baron of Big Storm beer. Did I say Mr. Bill Curry Ford, Ira? That is you. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan is here. The podcast marches on. Thank you, Bill Curry Ford, who presents all of Ira's work at JoeBucksFan.com. Sage podcast note, Todd Wright's Fantasy Football Podcast returns August 1st. I know you take great pride in your fantasy football skills, and Todd often lauds you for your improvement as a novice years ago, and now finding his way to deepen the playoffs every year with your sage wisdom. So good for you, Ira.
I like to be considered a player, Steve. I made the championship game 2 years ago, and who did I lose to? Todd Wright. But I'm getting better, Steve, and I'm looking forward to this year's competition. Maybe Sean Sullivan will be in it again.
It's always fun when Todd hosts the podcast and actually wins the league. Adds some credibility to the information that he's putting out there. But anyway, Sage, Bill Curry Ford, the month is changing. That means there's going to be all these really cool new offers in August, which is exciting. But you can still take advantage of all the great pricing at Bill Curry Ford right now. That includes the Ira Kaufman discount. That includes $500 from Sean Sullivan just for ordering a new vehicle with their concierge, make it simple, ordering service, no deposit. He'll hand you that $500 gift card for a new vehicle to order. Check it out at BillCurryFord.com. Also, all new vehicles, nationwide lifetime warranty on that vehicle that you get. They've got a great pre-owned selection, and you get that personal family-owned service, 63-plus years right there. They're a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Sean Sullivan, he's the GM. Ask for his personal help, and he will give it to you. And that's just such a great benefit when you want honest assistance in buying a vehicle or, of course, selling a vehicle. Thank you to Florida's Elite Restoration. Floridaselite restoration.com. Sage, if you come home and you have a flood in your house, you got to call them immediately. Don't mess around. Don't call your insurance company. Call them, and they will give you a free evaluation of what's happening, free assessment. They'll fix it right if you need them to, as far as mitigating all the damages, and they'll help you work with your insurance company to get that money that's coming to you so you don't get ripped off and through the corrupt insurance system. You need them as an offensive coordinator, a defensive coordinator. Floridaselite restoration.com. That includes fire, storm damage, mold. They're licensed mold remediation specialists. Floridaselite restoration.com. And Sage, Saturday was the big anniversary party at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater. Congratulations, Big Storm. 11 years. Tap rooms in Orlando at the Amway Center, which is open every day. Rock Riley, our buddy, was just there last night. He took his family somewhere and said, hey, I'm going to drink some beers at Big Storm. Had a good time. They're in Odessa off State Road 54 on Success Drive. Cape Coral, Clearwater is 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road. And Ybor City, Centro Ybor. They've all got slightly different menus, but all the beers are fantastic. Big Storm Brewery and Spirits. Get to their website, BigStormBrewery.com. Sage, we got so much to talk about from training camp. I don't even know if we're going to get to it all, but you know what? We're going to try. And I'm going to throw this to you first, Ira, because it was a little confusing, and maybe I need your clarification on this before we get to your private conversations with Baker Mayfield, your private conversation with Mike Evans, the Sage, working training camp like no other. Ira, Devin White, he hasn't talked to media since he asked for a trade, except he talked to me today. So I had a little private time with Devin White. And one thing he said, which sort of doesn't make sense in some ways, but it's interesting. He told me that he worked more on football, devoted more time to football this offseason than in previous off seasons. And he did a lot of work on hip mobility so he can be cleaner and faster out of his breaks, which you know means better in pass coverage. And he tweaked his diet. In his mind, he was more dedicated to football this offseason. Now, you have to explain this to me, Ira, because the guy skipped all the spring workouts and didn't participate in mandatory minicamp when he showed up. What's he saying? What's happening here?
Well, what he's saying, and I can just see Lee DeKemper nodding in agreement with me, guys, he's got 100 million reasons to want to have a big season. I mean, I don't think it's any more complicated than that. He's disgruntled with the organization, or he was. There's questions about whether he asked for a trade or not. He did not show up, you know, practices that he normally shows up in. But I take him at his word, Lee, that he stayed in shape. He's back fully participating in training camp. And, Lee, if you're Devin White, you know, you got to have a big year to get the money from either your current organization or another one. He wants to put it on tape at 31 other teams that could be interested in him. Why wouldn't you be interested in him, Lee? He's not 33 years old. He's entering his prime. He's got a lot of talent. If he has a very good season, even if the Bucks go, you know, 7-10, if Devin White's a standout, somebody's going to pay this guy. You would think it would be the Bucks if he really elevated his game. But if not, he'll go elsewhere, and it's a business. Lee, we can't be surprised that Devin White's putting all his eggs into this basket, and that's probably why he came to training camp. He decided, you know, I don't really have a lot of leverage, and I got to do what I can to have my best season. And there he is. And if he has a very good year, chances are this could be a pretty darn good defense.
Could one reason why the Bucks didn't re-up him is they're waiting to see how the season shakes out? What I mean by that is not so much how Devin White plays. What if Bulls is not here next year? And the new coach comes in, has a different defense, and maybe White isn't as valuable to him as he is to Bulls. Is that a reason?
I would downplay that, Lee. I still think it all comes down to how he plays this year, how this defense overall plays this year. And I think the Bucks would want to keep him, Lee, even with the head coaching change, which would trigger wholesale staff changes. We're not naive here. If Bowles leaves, other guys are leaving too. And a new head coach, whether it's Canales or somebody outside the organization, they want their own guys. And that's just the way it's done. My take on the Bucks, looking at them all these years, especially under Glazer ownership, Dave, a guy's 26 years old, and if he's coming off a really good year, I think the Glazers say go pay the guy, because they're not spending a lot of money on a quarterback position. This is not Patrick Mahomes, you know, 150 your salary cap going to one player. It's not like that around here. So they could afford Devin White, and who knows if Lavonte David will be back, but Steve, at his age, I'm in no hurry to get rid of Devin White if he has a very good season.
Waiting to see what happens with Todd Bowles is fair. He may not be as valuable in other defenses. And you could look at it as well, if we get a rookie quarterback, we'd rather build, spend big money on offense around him versus a middle linebacker. So there's a lot of ways to look at it. But that's far in the future, Sage. I had to get your opinion. So look, it got around social media, Ira, the picture that we posted of you just standing there chatting with Baker Mayfield for a while the other day. So we got to hear about that, or tell us what Mike Evans had to say.
Mayfield was standing there. He had his family around him. I didn't want to bother him, you know, interrupt him. But then a couple of people asked for his autograph, some kids, and he walked over away from the family to sign some autographs. And I, you know, Steve, you've seen me in action. I try to put myself in position where you got to go through me. You're going to see me, and you're going to have to go through me if you don't want to talk to me. And he finished signing the autographs, and I said, hey, Baker, and, you know, he recognized me from the press conferences. And I said, how the media treat you in Cleveland? And without mentioning any names, not too many people got too many compliments over there. I think he had a tough go in Cleveland. Not so much 2020, I think 2021. And I don't really see why. I mean, the guy hurt. He had a serious shoulder injury. How are you going to pick on him for that? I don't understand that. He tried to play through it. You know, that's his pride. He's a competitor. I don't think you ding him for that. He didn't have a very good season. The Browns were lousy in 2021. I think he's looking at this as a fresh start, and he didn't take any pot shots at the media. I mentioned DeKemper and Isbitz, and he had nothing bad to say, gentlemen. Now I want to move on to Mike Evans. Caught him alone after practice. Lee, I was walking him back towards the locker rooms and the dining room, and then he found like a shady spot with a little place to sit, you know, by one of the trucks. And he sat down. He said, "What do you got, Ira?" And Lee, I can't, you know, only I could do this, Lee. Only a kid from Brooklyn could do it. I said, "Mike, I got a message for you from Canton, Ohio." That got his attention. He goes, what's up? I'm not making this up. I looked at Mike Evans, the great Mike Evans, and I said, as far as the gold jacket is concerned, you're not there yet, Mike. You're not there yet. I said that to Mike Evans. And he didn't disagree. He didn't get mad. And he goes, what do you mean? And I said, you got the great streak going. It's unprecedented. You know, it's very, very strong on your resume. But your overall numbers, Mike, they like hardware. You got one All-Pro. You're a second-team All-Pro, like in 2016. You got one. And he goes, all right, keep going. He goes, well, there's a lot of great receivers. I said, you're right. But your overall numbers, total catches, less than 700 yards, touchdown catches. I said, you're 2 years away from Kent, Mike. You're 2 years away. And by that, I meant two good seasons away. He didn't disagree. You know, Mike Evans, guys, you know him. He's a historian. This guy knows his football. He also knows his basketball. I love talking to him about the NBA. I was asking him about my 76ers. He's very sharp as a sports observer. Very, very sharp. So anyway, once we stopped with the Hall of Fame chatter, we started talking about this team. He's pretty darn excited. I said, Mike, you came in 2014. The Bucks were awful. Just awful. That was Lovey's first year. That was the year of tanking, right, Lee? That's the tank year. He goes, yeah, very bad year, very bad year. I said, bad years followed, and then Brady came to town, and we know what happened. Where is this team? And basically, Lee said, yet to be shown, but I'm very excited. He kept talking about Canales, Lee, and, you know, Lee, you've watched practice. This doesn't look in any way. Now, it's underwear football. Lee, it just doesn't look like last year's offense. It looks totally different. It does. The movement, the imagination, moving the quarterback off that spot where you knew Tom Brady was going to be. There's two sides to that. One, you know, the offensive line knows where Brady wants to be. Seven steps back and boom, launch. But there's a downside. The defense also knows, Lee, where Tom Brady's going to be. So anyway, he's very high on Canales, Steve. He's very high on him. He mentioned that there's routes that are in the playbook that he's never run before in 9 years in the NFL. Not even close. And he said they're routes that these teams are going to have a lot of trouble defending. I can't wait to run these routes. So from a Mike Evans perspective, guys, at least on the surface, Canales is off to a heck of a start in terms of using some imagination, Lee, on this offense. And God knows it needs it.
Just look at Canales' history. Since he was in Seattle, what, 9 years? Is that correct, or seven?
Yeah, something like that.
I think it's 12.
Might be 12.
When he was in Seattle, he always had good receivers. And I think they may have had one first-round draft pick as a receiver. He always found ways to get these guys open. So it's very interesting that Mike Evans talks about all these rare routes that he's never run before. And so that's very interesting. And that I go back to, well, that says something about what Canales did with receivers back in Seattle. And I want to touch upon with Canales. Pass looks like a different quarterback. And I swear on a stack of Bibles, this is not the same quarterback I've seen for 2.5 years in practice. I texted someone with the Bucks the other day. I said, where did you kidnap him from? And talked to Canales today. And I basically said, what did you do with Trask between now and June? I mean, what did you do? I mean, is this an imposter on here? I told him, I said, Dave, I swear I'm seeing a different quarterback. I never saw Trask play like this before. And he's like, oh, you know, he just came in, he worked hard. And Canales basically all but admitted without saying so that, you know, they've reprogrammed Trask. It sure looks like they've worked on his mechanics. But Ira, you've seen Trask for a couple of years. You've seen him now. Am I off base in saying he looks totally different now?
You are not. You are not. There's more zip on the ball.
Yes.
He's moving better than he's ever moved. I think he lost some weight. He seems to enjoy this Canales strategy and launch point. I think it's fantastic, Steve, from a Buck fan's perspective, that Kyle Trask is rising to the challenge. Steve, that doesn't mean he's going to win the job. It's still an uphill battle for Kyle Trask, for reasons that you hear on this podcast and you don't hear anywhere else. We know what the dynamics are in play here, and they're very real. But, Steve, that doesn't mean it's impossible for Trask to win this job. It doesn't mean that. Mayfield has struggled at times. Underwear football, I understand, but the pads came on today, and Mayfield didn't distinguish himself. I love the fact that Trask is responding. Steve, I don't want to over-dramatize it, but, you know, he's had a lot of skeptics along the way. He has. Trask was the number one pick in the draft. You know, that's not Kyle Trask.
You mean Mayfield. Mayfield.
Mayfield. Mayfield was the number one pick in the draft. And so the scene was set for Mayfield. He knew he was going to play in the NFL and wouldn't have to wait that long to play in the NFL. And Trask isn't like that. He's waited for his chance, Lee. And I think the one thing we can say, Steve, Kyle Trask is giving it his best shot.
First, Todd Bowles said today, he gave a very little subtle thing there when he said that Trask has shortened his step, and that's the mechanical difference that you're seeing. Now, maybe other things, but he shortened his step, and Trask, when he spoke to the media last week, said that he went to work with a QB guru, and doesn't mean he wasn't already in process of that before the team broke for minicamp. But whatever work he put in, it's shown up. What I find interesting, Ira, is that Carlton Davis went out of his way the other day to talk about Trask's improvement and really stepping up in the last few days of training camp. And he had an opportunity to talk about Mayfield and didn't really go there. And I talked to Chase Edmonds today, the new running back, and I asked him about the quarterbacks. And he talked about Mayfield really understanding leadership and getting to know guys, and that he's just a great communicator, and, you know, just the stuff we've heard about Mayfield that people rally behind him. But then he started talking about Trask and how, hey, you know, everybody knows he kind of got an NFL style raw deal, you know, getting drafted when Tom Brady's in the house. You're not going to play. You're not going to get the same kind of chances. But he talked about his improvement. And I said, well, wait a minute, Chase, you weren't here last year. So what are you talking about Kyle's improvement? What are you seeing? He's like, well, I'm not saying he's so much better than the spring, but he said just the last few days you see an improvement from everything else, that he's just really stepped it up. And he, without saying it, he was saying, hey, he kind of feels like a starting quarterback right now. And so it's really pretty incredible. He's impressing a lot of people. And, you know, frankly, if it was just an even scorecard here and the season started tomorrow, you would think that they should start Trask.
You know, Lee, he's winning over some teammates. I think that's fair to say. He's winning them over. They didn't know much about him. You know, some of the holdover Buccaneers like, you know, Carlton Davis or whatever. You know, certainly they couldn't have been overly impressed with Trask until recently. And now they're singing a different tune. Still going to be tough for him to win a job. By the way, when I asked Mike Evans about Mayfield, whether he minds, you know, that Mayfield's got a strong ego and a lot of confidence in himself, said quite the contrary. He used the word moxie. Now, Steve, that's a Brooklyn word.
Evans used the word moxie to describe Mayfield?
Evans used the word moxie. I believe you've used it about me a couple of times
never.
On this podcast.
Never, never.
So I'm in fine company. It's a compliment, moxie. It means that you're smart and crafty. And he loves Mayfield's attitude. For the players, Lee, at least at this point, Mayfield's not coming across as cocky, but he's confident. And players like that, especially at that position.
Ira, how do you think this went over what I'm going to describe? He threw a pick today. I couldn't tell who tipped it. Ball went straight up in the air, and Yaya's flame broiled chicken just sold itself out, was parallel to the ground, dove out, and caught the ball just as it was about to hit the ground. And I saw Mayfield come up to him and help him up and say something to him. So I talked to Yaya's flame broiled chicken after practice, and he said Mayfield told him, hey, way to go, you finally got one on me, or something to that effect. Your quarterback would actually congratulate a linebacker for picking you off.
I think that speaks volumes about Mayfield at this point. That doesn't mean he's going to congratulate DeMario Davis if he picks him off. However, I'll tell you who loved that play, Lee, is Todd Bowles, because as you guys have written extensively for years now, because I think this is a continuing story until it's not, Lee. You got to get more interceptions. You got to get more takeaways. you know, Bowles doesn't go 24 hours without mentioning it. Carlton Davis talks about it. Dean talks about it. Winfield. Well, Steve, at some point, you got to go out and do it. Their interception totals as a team, Steve, they're not good. They're just not good. And, you know, Bowles is a former safety. Takes a lot of pride in the secondary, as does Coach Ross. And, of course, Nick Rapone, the safeties coach, also dwells on it all the time. Lee, what's the one thing Rapone's famous for saying? You want to get paid? You want to be considered elite? Grab the football. Don't just deflect it. Grab the football. You know, they say it comes in bunches, Lee. Well, when are the bunches going to start, Lee? By the way, I
like to use the old football axiom. If cornerbacks could catch the ball, they'd be wide receivers. So, and it's really true. Because that's the glamour position. That's a money position. What do you think of this, Ira? Outside of possibly Winfield, I think Winfield has two picks in training camp so far. I think that the rookies have as many picks, if not more, than Carlton Davis and Jamel Dean.
That's good or bad, because Dennis has been outstanding. I don't know how much he's going to play this year. He's certainly going to help on special teams right off the bat. This Dennis kid seems to have a knack for the football. Lee's around the football. He's smart. I think he's got a future with the Bucks. But Lee, the flip side is, you know, you would expect Dean and Davis to, you know, it's like Vita Vea leading them in sacks. Well, good for Vita Vea, but that's not what we, you know, that's not what we're looking for.
Sage, let me say this about the turnovers before you move on. Look, all you can do as a football team or an individual player is to practice catching the ball and learning your job, and where it goes from there. I mean, there's a lot of luck involved. There's a lot of practice involved, but they got rid of a ball hawk in Mike Edwards. They got rid of, they chose last year to not have a ball hawk in Winfield playing free safety.
And they lost Jordan Whitehead. Yeah, they did.
They moved up Winfield when they could have had him in the back. I don't expect Dean and Davis to have a breakthrough year with interceptions. I mean, it's just unrealistic. They're veterans. They're not great ball hawk guys, but you know, it's got to all go together. Tip passes, whatever. Lavonte David's had him in the past. They just have to find a way to get better at that overall. And I think the biggest answer is they want turnovers, turnovers, turnovers. Well, Servassier Dennis, if he's your top hands guy and he's getting all these turnovers, but you're not going to play him, then it's sort of empty talk. I'm not saying he should replace somebody, but if he's such a ball hawk, maybe they find ways to get him on the field.
I hear you, Steve. And Lee, to be fair, interceptions have changed a lot from a league perspective. Lee, it used to be, you know, every year somebody had 8, 9. That doesn't happen much anymore, Lee. It's like 6 might be leads the league. It's so much easier to throw and complete passes, Lee. I was looking up something the other day, and I was looking up some team's numbers, and I saw that, I don't know, this might have been in the 60s or 70s. The guy completed 45% of his passes, Lee. And the guy was one of the better quarterbacks. And now, Lee, if you're not over, you know, 62, 63%, you're a bump.
Remember when I was growing up in the 70s, you know, the bar was 50%. If you completed your passes, you're doing good.
That certainly changed. Steve, I got to say this, Steve, just to get a chuckle out of you two guys and to protect me from Buck Nation. Steve, I got to say it. Lee, I don't think you were on the podcast a few days ago, and I said something to Steve. And I prefaced it by saying, don't hold this against me if it doesn't sustain. And I knew what I was walking into, Lee. I probably shouldn't have said it. And I think it was after day 3 of training camp, after Friday was in the books. Lee, I said, 3 days in, no injuries. That's what I said, Lee. And then, you know, you heard about Jalen Ramsey at that point. You heard about Joe Burrow at that point. Mm-hmm. And some other guys. I think some Denver receiver today went down. It looks like he's out for the year, and the guy missed last year with a different injury. So, Lee, it's not like it doesn't happen. Even if it's underwear football, you can have a non-contact injury. You could. Mm-hmm. And, Lee, I said, don't hold me to this, because there will be some injuries, and I don't want to hear anything that I'm a jinx. And sure enough, Lee, there comes Cansey. And, Lee, thank God, it doesn't seem overly serious. But, Lee, if he misses the whole preseason, guys, would you rush him into game one or
no?
Would you?
No, you don't rush him until he's ready. Apparently a calf strain, from what I learned, and I learned this from Mike Garofolo, who reported about Kansas. It's looking like he might be able to come back for the first game. That's obviously too far out, but it's in play, the exact quote Garrett Fuller used. But he said calf injuries are weird. They could lead to something worse. They're almost like a hamstring in the sense that, you know, there's just a different animal. The Bucs are deep at that position, thank goodness. So I would not rush him in. It really stunts his rookie season. I mean, he's going to lose a lot of valuable practice time. And it's almost like Vita Vea. Vita Vea got hurt, if I remember correctly, his rookie year. And it took him a while to get going, and maybe mid-season, before he was, looked like he belonged on the NFL field. And unfortunately, that's probably, going to happen to Kansas.
Ira, just to clarify, first week of August, when Vea was on the team, he was carted off, and actually just before August, similar time, carted off, calf injury, and he came back, missed the preseason, and obviously not ideal, especially for a guy that size.
Steve, you know what the coaches are going to say, Steve. You already know it. If the trainers clear him, he's going to play. That's what coaches say, Lee. That's the standard line.
And he should.
If he's cleared, he's going to play. But, Steve, I just think they should be a little cautious. Calf injuries, Steve, I've had them. And, I ain't no super athlete. I understand that. But
Ira, are you about to compare your calf injury playing tennis with Kalijah Kancey and his explosive Aaron Donald-like ways?
He can have Aaron Donald-like ways, but I've hit a few winners with my backhand that I don't believe Kancey's done, Steve.
Hey, Steve, you got to remember, we saw how Kancey blew out his calf. He was coming around a tackling dummy. Well, Ira was coming around a cash register at Golden Corral.
Yeah, seriously, Sage, when I watch Kyle Trask now, his movement in the pocket, it reminds me of you at the Lucky Dill Bakery. It's just, the way you cover everything. Sage, let me throw this to you here. The Bucks situation behind Kancey, or if you want to, depending on what you really believe the depth chart was to begin with, the guy who's now in a bigger spotlight is Greg Gaines, the guy they signed, who played along Aaron Donald his first 4 years, and here he is, Vea's friend from college. I got a chance to talk to him, and I asked him about, hey, Todd Bowles said you're quicker and more versatile than he thought you were. And he was just like, what the hell? I heard they told me that too. And he's like, I don't know what they were watching. That's sort of my thing. And I suggested to him, which I mentioned on the podcast, I think, was, hey, is it maybe the film you looked slow next to Aaron Donald? And that was what he thought as well, that maybe that was the case. So you never really know, but coaches, coaches, front office, they view guys differently sometimes. And but Will Golston, I talked to him, Ira, and he was going to play this year, and he had other offers. He just really wanted to stay, and it was very close to his deadline for moving on to another team. And I said, well, what was kind of the turning point for you to come to the Bucks, other than you wanted to play here? And he's like, well, I had a deadline. And he said, honestly, he said, I was training so hard for the season that there's no way that I was going to let all that work just go to waste because the Bucks are waiting on me. I'm glad it worked out, but I was out of here. So those guys are now going to get in the spotlight here.
Lee, I think it speaks well for the organization that guys like Golston, to a lesser extent, and I think Levante David, maybe to a greater extent, Lee, could have gone elsewhere. There had to have been some suitors for Levante David. I'm not saying 31 teams, were flipping out that Levante David might be available on a free agent market. I'm not saying that. But, Lee, when you put together the portfolio that David has, and he's still very effective, and he had a good year last year. But he wouldn't have been so loyal if he didn't really like this organization. So I got to give props to the Bucks in that respect. Golston, Steve, and I believe him, said he had some options. Say what you want about what kind of season the Bucks are going to have and the history of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Lee, this is not a bad place to work. It's not.
No, I mean, the defensive guys, they really like to play for Todd Bowles. We know that. They talk about Bowles very positively. They like playing for him. And also, it's a personal lifestyle choice, if you think about it. Golston, he now considers Tampa home. He grew up in Detroit. Right. We know about you know, all the disadvantages he was at. And it's great that he overcame all of that, but he's adopted Tampa as his hometown. I think he moved his family down here, and, you know, he loves it here. He didn't want to, you know, leave his town or his hometown. He wanted to play in the same town he lives in. Lavonnie David, you know, you've heard him talk about when he went to play in Nebraska in junior college. He hated it. I think it was Kansas, actually. But he went to college in Nebraska. He hated playing up there. He had to deal with winter. He's a Miami guy, and he hated it. And so I don't think Lavonnie wanted to deal with winter. And obviously he likes bowls. So, you know, the best situation for him was to stick with the Bucks. So there's a couple factors involved. Bowls is one. Lifestyle is another.
First, I want to mention pickup and delivery service now available at Bill Curry Ford. That's not just for purchasing a vehicle where they make home purchasing so easy. That's for service, too. They will come out and service at your home, or they'll take it back to the dealership and bring it on back. Get all the information on all the great things at Bill Curry Ford at BillCurryFord.com. Sage, now, this was got a little annoyed today, Ira. I needed you to throw some cold water on me, which would have been refreshing, but I got a little annoyed. Shaq Barrett did a news conference today, and he, you know, took all kinds of questions about the horrible tragedy in his family and a few football questions, but it was mostly focused on that, and that's fine. The reporters had free rein to ask what they wanted, and Shaq volunteered to do the news conference. But I heard multiple sources, Ira, reporting that this was the first time Shaq was available to reporters, and that just wasn't true. The day before, Lee and I just simply went up to Shaq and said, "How you doing, man?" And he was like, "Oh, great, guys, blah, blah, blah." And we just started talking to him, and we wrote up like three stories, and today was the news conference with Shaq. So I got me a little annoyed, Ira. I don't like people putting in print and in out there that, you know, he wasn't available when he was.
I absolutely disrespect the Joe Bucks fan. Shocking, Lee, shocking. No. That people don't give you guys enough credit. I noticed that you two guys corralled Shaq Barrett. It was very shortly before I corralled Baker Mayfield, and we were standing in the same basic area. And I heard Lee say, "Shaq, you got a minute?" And of course, 9 minutes later, the Kemper's still talking to him, yeah, you know. But that's Lee the Kemper. That's why we love him. You guys are doing a sensational job of grabbing these guys. Steve, you with Devin White, kudos to you. Lee's working it strongly. And you got to remember, this is the same time that Bowles is talking, and they're bringing some, you know, big-name, high-profile players to the podium. But you guys think like I do. Hey, when you get a chance to get a guy by yourself that you pick, that you want to talk to, that's tough to pass up, Lee, and we're going to keep doing it.
Yeah, the thing with Shaq, to show how grossly inaccurate it was the first time he was available, you know, I walked up to Shaq yesterday, and, "Hey, Shaq, you'd love to talk?" Because I thought maybe the Bucks were keeping him up wraps because of what happened with his family. And for me personally, I that just wasn't a subject I was interested in. I don't think it has anything to do with the Bucks, although you can make an argument it probably does. But I just wanted to stay away from them. I mean, what the hell is he going to say, you know?
Right.
So I went up to him and I said, "Hey, you love to talk?" And he kind of looked at me like, what do you mean? I said, "Well, I thought maybe, you haven't spoken in some time. And I kind of thought maybe the Bucks had a muzzle on you." He goes, no, I've been talking. And we didn't hear anything from media relations that, hey, you weren't supposed to talk to Shaq.
Yes.
No one mentioned that to us. So he was absolutely available. So this nonsense that first time he was available, that's not right lie.
Yeah, the Shaq's exact quote to Lee was, "Allowed to talk? What?"
Good for him. Good for him.
Yeah, as opposed to Sage, who's like, "Hey, sit down. I got to talk to you." hey, Ira, but the important thing is that Shaq said, quote, "No hesitancy. No hesitancy. He's absolutely 100%, and he's raring to go." He told me, they told him 6 to 8 months with the recovery, and he's already at 9 months, and he's like, you know, "I know guys struggle to recover, but I'm 100%, and, you know, I just want those reps and pads to test myself even further and sharpen up." And he was just very clear, no hesitancy, no nothing. He's all in. And obviously it's just talk. But he said he didn't really talk to other guys with the injury in the league, but he said he made himself very aware of comeback timelines and things. And he just feels he's on completely on track for somebody who has healed perfectly and is raring to go.
You know, when I think of Shaq Barrett right now, Lee, I think of a guy who needs help on the field. He needs help. And nobody missed Jason Pierre-Paul more last year than Shaq Barrett before he got hurt. And here's what I mean, Lee. Even though JPP wasn't his dominant self in 2021, because he had his own injuries to deal with, he still had the reputation. You still got to be aware of the guy because he's had such a terrific career. That's where Tryon Shaika comes in again, Lee, because, Lee, let's be honest. You're an offensive coordinator. You're an offensive line coach for a Buck opponent. You're spending half the time talking about Shaq Barrett. Where's Barrett? Yeah. We got to be aware of him. And, Lee, right now, he doesn't have enough help. Not enough proven help. So somebody's got to step up because, you know, they don't like to move him off that left flank. They don't like to move him all around. People know where he's going to be, and they pay a lot of attention to Barrett. And he didn't have a great year until before he got hurt. He needs a bounce-back season, not just from the injury, but he needs help, Lee. Somebody else needs to step up a little bit.
I'd rather you bring up an interesting point I want to ask you about. We know this is like do-or-die season for Joe Tryon Shoyanka. I don't think I'm overstating it. You know, it'd be nice if he could play to Gaines Adams levels. He's not even there yet. And most people, you mentioned Gaines Adams, too, and, you know, they throw up in their mouths. if we know the dynamics of what's going on with Todd. We, you know, the Glazers have only kept one coach who had two losing seasons in a row, and that guy won them a Super Bowl. And, you know, I debate in my mind, does Bulls get a pass? I don't want to bring up one reason because it triggers Steve. But another is, hey, the guy did win a division. Losing record, but he did win a division, made the Glazers some money with a playoff game. How much rope does Joe Tryon Shoyanka get? And what I mean by that is if the Bucks are struggling, let's say the first month of the season, and they're getting nothing from JTS, does Bulls make a move and bench him or put in Yaya? Or what do you think happens there, Ira?
I don't think very much, Lee. Not right now. Not with this situation. A guy's coaching for his professional life. We all know it. It's no secret. And, you know, who knows? Maybe Yaya's a player. I think at that point, Bowles says, let's see what we got off the right edge. Let's see what we got. I know he's a rookie. Let's see. Where's Logan Hall? I don't know what's going on with this guy off the right side. But all I know is, Steve, maybe you disagree, but Shaq Barrett's out there by himself, you know, and Devin White contributes. But how much do you expect from an inside linebacker in terms of a pass rush? They need some help on that right side, Steve.
Well, it just all remains to be seen. I don't think Tryon Shoyanka really has any rope. If Shaq is healthy, if we want to assume that he is ready to go and they're going to give him 75% of the snaps like he would normally play, he might be more, you know, closer to 85. But let's just say they give him 75. They'll rotate those other guys in, and whoever's playing well will play. I don't think Bulls is married to anybody. I don't think he really cares. If Tryon Shoyanka is not good against the run, Devin White told me, he said that there was a huge focus of the defense now as to restoring that great run defense that they used to have. I mean, Bowles isn't just going to, he doesn't have any incentive. There's nothing there. You just drafted a pass rusher, and what they hope Yaya is, they're going to give him a chance to see if he can do it. You know, obviously Bowles, if he didn't really like Anthony Nelson, they wouldn't have re-signed him for like $5 million. So it'll be interesting. You know, the preseason may even factor more into it than we think.
Nelson. Lee, you know, I've said before, he's in a perfect role, situational guy. He gets you 5-6 sacks in limited time. Lee, I'm not sure the guy can't be more productive if he plays more. I don't know. I'm a little intrigued with Anthony Nelson.
You and Steve think he's got a higher ceiling than I do. I've seen what he could do against physical teams, and he gets absolutely taken out. Absolutely taken out. Generally, good teams are physical teams. He's a part-time player. Guy that could come in, maybe play a couple games, and then Steve will start screaming at me, oh, he's got more sacks than Shoyanka. But what's the investment they have in Shoyanka compared to Nelson? I have a nice guy off the bench, but I don't have any hopes for him as a full-time starter. I'm sorry, I just don't.
Yeah, and Steve, for anybody who thinks that Jason Light's going to pound the table for Tryon Shoyinka if after week seven he's got one sack and the defense is having problems with the pass rush. That's not going to happen. You know, the guy was the last pick in the first round. All right. You want to call him a first rounder? Fine. Steve, I'll use that word we love, investiture. I don't think that's going to be a factor. After 6 or 7 weeks, they're going to see, is this guy progressing? Is he raising his game? And if he's not...
Yeah, Ira, just to wrap up the edge rusher position, I just don't think there's any loyalty at all. I mean, other than to Shaq, who's making the big money, the investment at this point in Tryon Shoyinka is limited. I don't see the Bucks, unless something changes, they're not going to guarantee him, you know, $10-plus million on a fifth-year option. So there's only 2 years left, and they're just going to play whoever looks good. So whatever that is, we'll see in the coming weeks, and they'll rotate these guys in like they always do. Speaking of Nelson, Ira, Anthony Nelson was on local radio, and WDAE did an interview with him, and he said that he thinks, to give you his exact quote, just being under the radar this year is going to be a good thing for the Bucks. Because the buzz that came with Brady, Nelson prefers less buzz. He said there's nothing different in the building without Brady there. Nothing. He said that twice. And he just said what's different is the outside noise. And he said the culture is the same. Bowles has done a good job of keeping it the same. And it just speaks to a lot of things. And Nelson didn't mention the loss of Brady's leadership or quarterback greatness. He just sort of said... it's very different without the people caring about us with the media, and I like it better.
I think that's revisionist history over there. I mean, Brady made this team relevant to a large degree. Brady won a Super Bowl year one. They got deep in the playoffs year two. I mean, you can't erase what Tom Brady did. Now, whether he likes laying in the weeds or not, that's up to Anthony Nelson. But Lee, to suggest that the vibe is the same as when Tom Brady was here, I can't go along with that. I think Nelson is trying his best, Lee, to talk up this franchise in a post-Brady world. I think he took it a little too far.
Well, first off, you don't hear Evans saying that. You don't hear Godwin saying that. I guarantee you don't hear Christian Wirf saying that. That's number one. Number two, because they know how valuable Brady was. They played with the guy. They were on offense, so they knew exactly how valuable Brady was. And my biggest takeaway about that is that's so on brand for Anthony Nelson. I mean, Anthony Nelson, and I'm saying this in a positive way, he's stereotypical Midwest. And I can say that because I'm from the Midwest. Midwest, you're brought up, you don't like drama. You actually hate drama. You're turned off by drama. You don't bring attention to yourself. Media is evil. You know, that is so on brand. And let's be honest here. Anthony Nelson played for a guy at Iowa, a Belichick disciple, a dinosaur in the coaching industry. Very good coach, but a dinosaur, doesn't believe in the past. Doesn't believe in quarterbacks. His offense is prehistoric. And that is so, so on brand. You know, Anthony Nelson, a quiet guy from Iowa, went to a university that doesn't believe in a quarterback. You know, it's all about team. We know that's nonsense. If you don't have a quarterback, I don't care what level of football on, you're going to suck. That is just so, so on brand for Anthony Nelson to say that.
Sage, what's on brand for you is getting out of here. Because you've got some packing to do, and before you head out to the Hall of Fame on Thursday, and but of course we'll see you at practice tomorrow, which is Tuesday, a night affair with some preliminary stuff before that with some assistant coaches. Should be a lot of fun. And
Steve, there gonna be any hot dogs available out there for the fans or anything for the media? Anything?
I think just water, Ira. I didn't see any food for sale. Lee, you didn't see any food for sale for the fans, do you?
I saw some fans with these, you know, cardboard trays. Not even a tray. It's like they put hamburger ground beef in, you know, like a cup. It's like a big cup, big paper cup.
So there you go, Ira. You can get a cup of beef at practice.
I might smuggle in a beet salad, Steve. I might.
Ira, do you have any parting words for the passing of the pride of Sarasota, Pee Wee Herman?
Oh, good old Pee Wee. I don't know a lot about him, Lee. I don't know a lot about the guy. I know one thing. He made a lot of money. And he had, you got to have a shtick. Everybody's got a shtick. And he had one. I don't know much about him. I think his name was Paul Rubens. I know that much about him. He's gotten into some trouble, I believe. Little of this, little of that. But I'll raise a glass to him tonight, Leah, a glass of cold milk.
There you go.
Sage, Bromosa is in Publix. Bromosa, that's the Tangerine IPA from Big Storm Brewery. Big Storm Brewing Company is Florida's best craft beer, and that Bromosa is an award winner. It's a superstar, but it's only one of many. Get to BigStormBrewery.com to see all the beers. Thank you, Florida's Elite Restoration. That's where you go, Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Now, learn about their services so when you have that summer disaster in your home, you know who to call 24/7 for a free assessment. If you do use them, mention Ira Kaufman or Joe Bucks Fan when you first call. And if you need their service after a free assessment, then you're going to get $500 back. Maybe that's cash or maybe that's money for your deductible. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. And get shopping now. The new month is here. Go to BillCurryFord.com to see all the August offers and the great inventory. They got a huge pre-owned inventory. Bill Curry Ford presents all of Ira's work at JoeBucksFan.com, BillCurryFord.com. All right, Ira, we'll see you out at One Buck on Tuesday night, and we'll have another podcast before you know it.